House please come to order. Please indicate their presence by voting. You've already done it. Representative Ramirez.
Madam Clerk. 23 members present.
Majority Leader.
Speaker, may the general reflect that Representative Berkowitz, Jewell, and Kepsner have previously been excused from the call of the House today.
Members will be shown as excused. Leading invocation today is Pastor Sherry Patterson of the Church of All Nations. Will members please rise for the invocation?
Our Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask that strong and inspirational prayer be spread upon the journal.
Without objection, that strong and inspirational prayer will be spread across the journal. Madam Clerk, would you please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify as the correctness of the journal for the 92nd legislative day.
Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, my only regret is that we don't have an audio recording of our journal. So I would move and ask unanimous consent that the previous day, the journal of the previous day, be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
Without objection, the journal will be approved as certified by the chief clerk. Is there anybody in the audience you want to introduce as guests today representing Corrine?
Notice it jumped up real quick because I wanted to have the honor of introducing this gentleman. He's a constituent of mine. He's in the Protrovich Gallery behind me. Former, I guess I can't refer to our body here, but I'll say former member of each body of the legislature. His name is Kurt Menard. He's a longtime family friend of mine and my family. He's a dentist in Wasilla, a very successful businessman. Very proud to have him here. So I'd ask my colleagues here to give Kurt Menard, former legislator, a warm welcome to Juneau.
Representative Menard and Senator Menard, It's all right. My pleasure to offer you the floor if you wish to speak to us today.
Well, I guess as a former member of both bodies, it's nice to come down and just ask for money. So all your ask for money. So I wish you well. Thank you very much.
All right, we'll stand at ease for just a second here while the camera comes in. House, come to order. Morning, Max. Okay. Are there any other guests for introduction this morning? Representative Ramirez.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm very honored. My brother is here visiting today, and he is the vice principal at Lathrop High School. He's spent 10 years teaching special ed, 10 years working at the youth facility. He's been a coach 20 years. He's a great football player. Today they retired his jersey from Lathrop High School. He lives in my district, and I work with his wife. He managed my campaign. He's probably the closest friend that I have on this earth, and my brother Tyrone Oates has joined us here today.
Other guests for introduction. Madam Clerk, messages from the Governor.
Messages dated April 11th stating that the Governor has signed the following bills and transmitted the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Senate Bill 42, extending termination date of Task Force on Naturopathic Scope of Practice. It's Chapter Number 7, SLA 2005. And Senate Bill 60, extending the termination date of the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council. And it's Chapter Number 8, SLA 2005. There are no further messages from the Governor today, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any messages from the other body?
A message dated April 11th stating that the Senate has passed and returned House Joint Resolution Number 8. There are no further messages from the other body.
Madam Clerk, are there any communications this morning?
There are no communications today, Mr. Speaker.
How about our standing committees? Do we have anything from them?
The Judiciary Committee has considered House Joint Resolution Number 9, urge Congress honor Exxon Valdez judgment, recommending due pass Grunberg, Anderson, Coghill, and Guerra. No recommendation, Cott, Dahlstrom, and McGuire. The report was signed by Representative McGuire, Chair. House Joint Resolution 9 has no further referral. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 9, Hydrogen Energy Research Program, attaches 3 fiscal notes and 1-0 fiscal note, recommending due pass Sisna. No recommendation, Ledoux, Salmon, Newman, Olson, and Thomas. Report was signed by Representative Olson and Thomas, co-chairs. House Bill 9 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 12, TVs and monitors in motor vehicles, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 12, Judiciary, with the new title, recommending due pass, Grunberg, Cott, Anderson, Guerra, and McGuire. No recommendation, Dahlstrom and Coghill. Report was signed by Representative Wired Chair. House Bill 12 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 91, Indecent Exposure to Minors, recommending due pass Hawker, Foster, Moses, Meyer, Stoltz, and Kelly. The report was signed by Representatives Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. House Bill 91 has no further referral. Finance Committee has considered House Bill 123, Occupations, Fees, and Extension of Boards, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 123, Finance, with the new title, recommending due pass Hawker and Foster. No recommendation, Holmes, Stoltz, Moses, and Meyer. Amend, Kelly. The report was signed by Representative Meyer, co-chair. House Bill 123 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 219, Strangulation Crimes, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 219, Finance, with the new title, attaches a 0 fiscal note, recommending due pass Hawker, Holm, Foster, Croft, Wyrock, Moses, Meyer, and Chenault. No recommendations, Stoltz and Kelly. The report was signed by Meyer and Representatives Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. House Bill 219 has no further referral. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 249, Enhanced 9/11 Surcharges, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 249, CNRA. With the same title attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending due pass Cisna, Olson, and Thomas. No recommendation, Ledoux and Salmon. Amend Newman. The report was signed by Representatives Olson and Thomas, co-chairs. House Bill 249 has a further referral to the Labor and Commerce Committee. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 256, Ruth Burnett Sport Fish Hatchery, recommending due pass Gatto, Elkins, Crawford, Seaton, Ramirez, and Samuels. No recommendation, Olson. The report was signed by Ramirez and Samuels, co-chairs. House Bill 256 has no further referral. The Resources Committee has considered Senate Bill 25, Genetically Modified Fish, recommending due pass Seaton, Elkins, Crawford, and Samuels. No recommendation, Olson and Ramirez. Amend Gatto. The report was signed by Representatives Ramirez and Samuels, co-chairs. Senate Bill 25 has no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 52, Labor and Commerce, Occupations, Corporations, Banks, Securities, recommending due pass Crawford, Lynn, and Anderson. No recommendation, Guttenberg and Roquefort. The report was signed by Representative Anderson, Chair, Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 52, Labor and Commerce, has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 105, Labor and Commerce, Overtime Wages for Flight Crew, recommending due pass Cott, Anderson, and McGuire. No recommendation, Gruenberg, Dahlstrom, Coghill, and Guerra. The report was signed by Representative McGuire, Chair, Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 105, Labor and Commerce, has no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 129, Judiciary, Wrongful Filing of LIS Pendants, recommending due pass Lynn, Roquefort, and Anderson. No recommendation, Crawford and Guttenberg. The report was signed by Representative Anderson, Chair, Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 129, Judiciary, as a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. There are no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Are there special committee reports?
The House Special Committee on Ways and Means has considered House Joint Resolution 12, Constitutional Amendment Budget Reserve Fund Repeal, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 12, Ways and Means, with the new title, attaches a fiscal note, recommending due pass Wilson, Seaton, and Wyrock. No recommendation, Samuels. The report was signed by Representative Wyrock, Chair. House Joint Resolution 12 has a further referral to the State Affairs Committee. The House Special Committee on Ways and Means has considered House Bill 235, Decoupling from Federal Tax Deduction, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 235, Ways and Means, with the new title, recommending due pass Wilson, Seaton, Moses. No recommendation, Wyrock. The report was signed by Representative Wyrock, Chair. House Bill 235 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. There are no further reports of special committees, Mr. Speaker.
Are there any resolutions or citations for introduction?
There are no citations or resolutions for introduction today.
Are there any bills for introduction?
And there are no bills for introduction today.
Okay, then that moves us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Madam Clerk, would you please read the first item on today's agenda?
House Bill 41 by Representatives Lynn and McGuire, Anderson, Wilson, Ramirez, Foster, and Holm, entitled An Act Relating to Minimum Periods of Imprisonment for Crimes or for the Crime of Assault in the Fourth Degree Committed Against an Employee of an Elementary, Junior High, or Secondary School who was engaged in the performance of school duties at the time of the assault. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 41, Judiciary, with the same title attached, 4-0 fiscal notes, recommending due pass Anderson and McGuire. No recommendation, Gruenberg, Guerra, Coghill, and Dahlstrom. The report was signed by Representative McGuire, Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 41 Finance with a new title attached to new zero fiscal note, recommending due pass, Wyrock and Foster, no recommendation, Holm, Stoltz, Moses, Kelly, Meyer, and Chenault, amend Hawker. The report was signed by Representatives Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. There's two committee substitutes.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 41 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance Committee substitute will be before us. Madam Clerk, are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 41 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is an objection. This bill will be taken up in third reading tomorrow. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
House Bill 119 by the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee, entitled an act extending the termination date of the Alaska Regional Economic Assistance Program and providing for an effective date. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered the bill attached to fiscal note, recommending due pass, Newman, Cott, Ledoux, Olson, and Thomas. No recommendation, Salmon. The report was signed by Olson and Thomas, co-chairs. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 119 Finance with the same title, attaches two fiscal notes, recommending due pass, Wyrock, Jewell, Moses, Foster, Meyer, and Chenault. No recommendation, Hawker, Holm, Croft, and Stoltz and Kelly. The report was signed by Representatives Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. There's one committee substitute.
Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 119 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objections, the Finance Committee version will be before us. Clerk, do we have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Bill 119 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we're in third reading. Madam Clerk, please read the title for the third and final time.
Committee substitute for House Bill 119 Finance, entitled an act extending the termination date of the Alaska Regional Economic Assistance Program and providing for an effective date.
Representative Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. HB 119 is to extend a sunset that extends the Alaska Regional Development Organization, also known as ARDES, for 5 years. ARDES is a nonprofit volunteer organization that helps 11 regions throughout the state for economic development opportunities and coordinates with other communities, projects, and stuff. Helps collect and distribute economic information in the regions. In addition, ARDES serves as the liaison between the region and the state federal governments. Today, there are 11 ARDES assisting 11 regions. I understand there's possibly one more coming on. Each has a board of directors who are appointed by various organizations in the region, and it is the responsibilities of the board to ensure that an annual work plan is executed. Each ARDA is granted approximately $50,000 a year. This money is not earmarked for any specific use. Rather, the ARDAs are allowed to use it freely, but most of them use it to leverage and get more money to create and help some of the communities in the region. To date, this funding formula has been especially effective, resulting in substantial economic growth throughout portions of the state. The ARDA program has been repeatedly renewed through the years, and it has come up again for one more time, and I'm asking for your support, and that there is a fiscal note of $650,000 per year for the next 5 years. This, again, is just extending the sunset of the ARDA program, and I urge your support.
Is there any other debate on the bill? Representative Curtula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This has been an important mechanism for our region here in Southeast to be able to have communities working together, and without it, it would really take quite a chunk out of our process of working together for economic development. So it's a good bill, and I really appreciate the extension of the sunset. Thank you.
Other debate on the bill? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just want to definitely agree with the previous speaker. This is means a lot to Southeast Alaska because all of the communities really work well together under the umbrella of the Arter. So, thank you.
Representative Humbert.
Mr. Speaker, I have over the years looked at this particular issue, these various sunsets that come up on the Arters, and in testimony, I've been a skeptic about their effectiveness. And I would just like to go on record as saying that the legislature would like to see these groups actually create some jobs.
Other debate on the bill? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My compliments to the sponsor of the bill and the previous two speakers before the last speaker, because I do think that the Arters are very effective. In fact, I worked on legislation last year to that effect, which was unsuccessful, giving a tax credit. To this bill before us, the Anchorage Economic Development Council has been integral, and I would respond to the previous speaker, the Rules Chairman, that yes, indeed, they helped bring in Federal Express, and they have helped make Anchorage a global positioning city, integral, I think, in national and certainly in global marketing. So Anchorage Economic Development Council, which we both are a party to and work with in Anchorage, has been very successful, so I applaud the bill.
Other debate on the bill? You ready, Representative Roberg?
Just a point of clarification, I agree with the prior speaker as to the success of Anchorage. I just wish the other areas would have the same success.
Sounds like an Anchorage debate to me. Other questions on the bill? You ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 119, Finance, pass the House in third reading? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
34 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, with a vote of 34 yeas and 0 nays, the substitute for House Bill 119 Finance has passed the House. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill 119 Finance be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the bill will be the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Croft.
May we move back up the calendar to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we will move back up the calendar to introduction of guests. Representative Croft.
Thank you. One of my constituents, and then one I'm just going to blatantly steal. The Deidre Hall, a UAA grad, since May 1st, she said, I'm going to be a grad. Lifelong Alaskans, remembers when Anchorage had dirt roads. I don't think she's old enough to remember that, actually. But if you could help me in welcome her in the crowd. And then secondly, also in the Paratrovich Gallery, a longtime friend of mine, we went to West High School together, went to Stanford together, have a sort of mutually assured pact on not telling any of those stories that we've kept so far, down to comment on some of the bills affecting his profession. Please welcome Griff Stein.
Other guests for introduction while we're here? Okay, we'll roll back. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, brief at ease.
Brief at ease. Order. While we're still under introduction of guests, anybody have any Representative Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the Taylor Gallery from East Anchorage, we have Mr. Alan Smith, who's here with the Alaska Conservation Voters. So I want to welcome him.
Other guests? Representative Hawker.
Mr. Speaker, I've just been informed that I also have a guest in the Taylor Gallery, Mr. Eric Udy. I appreciate everyone welcoming Juneau with us here. Thank you.
I guess. Okay, we'll move back down the calendar. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
House House Bill 149 by Representatives Ramirez, Wilson, Lynn, McGuire, Gatto, Kelly, Foster, Holm, and Stoltz, entitled An Act Relating to Further Regulation of the Sale, Possession, and Delivery of Certain Chemicals and Precursors Used in Manufacture of Methamphetamine. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 149 Judiciary, with the new title attached to Fiscal Note 2 Indeterminate Notes and 1 and 2 Zero Notes, recommending due pass Anderson, Grunberg, and McGuire, no recommendation Cott and Guerra. The report was signed by Representative McGuire, Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 149 Finance, with the new title attached to New Zero Fiscal Note, recommending due pass Hawker, Croft, Holmes, Stoltz, Kelly, Wyrock, Foster, Moses, Meyer, and Chenault. The report was signed by Representatives Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. There's two committee substitutes.
Mr. Jarlier.
Mr. Speaker, excuse me, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 149 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Finance Committee substitute before us. Madam Clerk, are there any amendments?
Amendment number one by Representative Crawford, beginning page 10.
Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number one.
There is an objection. Representative Crawford, you want to speak to the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, I just want to mention that I'm in complete agreement with this House Bill 149. I think it needs to be passed. It's of urgent importance that we do and pass this bill. But without amendment number one, I think that it makes the bill a hollow shell, because there's no reporting requirement. As the bill's written, the people that sell Sudafed or other precursors to the manufacturer of methamphetamine have no need to turn this information into any law enforcement agency. What amendment number one does is make sure that there's a central repository to turn this information into across the state, so that the law enforcement agencies are able to track where people are buying it and who's buying it, and where there may be places that this illegal activity is actually going on. And Mr. Speaker, I can't say enough about how what a scourge methamphetamine has become. We've got to do something about it and do it quickly. Oklahoma has done this. They've apparently lessened the number of infractions by about 80% because they've done this. I want us to do this as well, but I want us to do it where there is a central repository, so that the law enforcement agencies actually have a way of tracking putting this law into effect. Thank you.
Is the objection maintained? Objection is maintained. Representative Ramirez.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the previous speaker, and we've worked closely together on this, and this is actually the one point upon which we have disagreed. Department of Public Safety does not want this. They don't think this would be helpful. They think this would lead to a room full of dusty files and record books. And we think that the greatest benefit would be the fact that people do have to sign a logbook, and they have to show identification for this. And we believe that it's a sufficient deterrent to address this problem. And I think this would lead to a fiscal note and a big closet full of logbooks, and would, in addition, be a burden on small business to have to send this to a central repository. Further, we think this issue has already been addressed in the bill, which gives local law enforcement in particular areas, say the MATSU or North Pole, which are two notable areas, unfortunately, that enjoy the distinction of being hotbeds for meth labs. And there is an allowance in this bill for local law enforcement to be a repository. So I think that this is amendment number one is a bit of overkill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Other debate on the amendment? Representative Gatto?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm really not expecting a lot of dusty files. It's the Mattsu Valley that has the majority of meth labs, and as the maker of the amendment mentioned, in states where they have essentially instituted these control measures, the reduction was 80%. And that 80% is no coincidence, because 80% is the exact number of meth labs that are home operations. We don't expect at all that the large commercial operators are going to simply not go across the border or not get illegal shipments. What we're trying to do is deal with these issues that affect our public schools, affect the children in your neighborhood, certainly affect the fire department. And while there is a physical note that requires recording, if we don't have a central agency that puts the data together, we don't really have a way to identify where the abusers are. This is the age of computers. We're not expecting dusty files in some location stored somewhere. No one would be able to access those things. What we're looking for is someone who on Monday at 2 o'clock and Monday at 4 o'clock and Monday at 8 o'clock and then Tuesday at 3 o'clock is buying the same doggone drug in different locations. And when you have a database that is entered from each location and exists in a central location, it becomes a very glaring observation that that person by that name is signing off in all these locations. I think it's pretty clear. There may be a physical note to do this, but I think the fire department and the law enforcement agencies would say the reduction in damage and the reduction in the requirement to go and investigate and to go and clean up meth places and to put out fires in places where meth is, certainly it would be balance out the need to maintain this database. This is a very important amendment. It is the core of being able to control methamphetamine production in my community as well as statewide. And this is something that has been out of hand for a while, a significantly growing menace to all of us and to certainly all of our neighbors and friends and their children and their teachers and whatnot. This is happening commonly, much more commonly than we're aware of, because people simply try to camouflage the effect that would be able to notice. But I can tell you, kids show up at school, and they smell of this drug, and we are not controlling this, because we cannot simply go and say, where's your mommy and daddy? We're going to send the police to arrest them. We need to turn it off at the source, and we need to simply identify that the source is essentially the people who buy this stuff. That's what we're working for. And without this amendment that simply makes a central database, it would be like the police stopping a car, following a car, and reporting a license plate. And the only place that that license plate could be accessed is from the one time that that person had a DUI, which is in some dusty file. That's not true. When the police stop a car with a license plate, that's accessed in a computer. That's a record. And that enables a police officer to simply say, already know that the person I'm following has three DUIs. He might not be wearing his seatbelt. And so I have another reason to stop him. And so that is the important part. Without a database that is central, we really have no bill. All these pages in this bill have no value except to say, well, where's that dusty file located? And that's the problem. We have to have an amendment like this. Thank you.
Representative Hawker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And with the indulgence of the Speaker, I'd like to cite a section from the Alaska Constitution.
Without objection.
Should be Article 1, Section 22, Declaration of Rights of Alaskans, the right of privacy. The right of the people to privacy is recognized and shall not be infringed. Respectfully, this amendment, I believe, crosses that line between the point that has been carefully crafted as in the context of the bill, that we do not want to create a database of every person in the state of Alaska that with the sort of presumption that they've done something wrong, and create this in the Department of Public Safety, where every single Alaskan who buys Sudafed is placed on the suspect list. Yet we have not prevented, well, we've not denied law enforcement the tools they need to properly pursue the problems that are, the people that are creating problems with methamphetamine. I respectfully suggest this amendment crosses that line of the right to privacy and does not aid law enforcement significantly in its efforts to pursue methamphetamine violators. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Croft.
Thank you. Well, in a rare, I think, disagreement with the representative in front of me from District 21, I'll speak against the amendment. Recognize what we're doing. We have an excellent bill, and we're just at this fine point between privacy and a burden on businesses and the very legitimate need to get this information so that we can nab the people who are actually using Sudafed to manufacture methamphetamines. This is a legal drug. Law-abiding citizens selling it, law-abiding citizens using it for lawful purposes that can be used for very horrible purposes in the manufacture of meth with horrible consequences. My concern and the balance that I would suggest is that we have law enforcement individually ask each of the businesses for a discrete period of time for this information. Do you want the information simply sitting there in every different location across the state? Do you want to force law enforcement to go personally to each of those places to look at the log? And do you really think we're going to get very effective law enforcement that way? But under amendment number one, once a shall be reported by each wholesaler and manufacturer to a central repository, everybody in Sitka, in Barrow, the mom and pop shop in Nome. I just suggest that we need a more finely tuned balance between these very important public policy goals. That gone too far, as I believe amendment number one does, you have people reporting that don't need to, that burden on them, that burden on those business, impact on people's privacy matters. But if we don't do something somewhat more than the current bill has, we're not going to have an effective tool for law enforcement. So I don't think amendment number one is the approach that we should take, but I do think we have to answer the question, if not this, how do you enforce this law in an effective way to really curb the production of methamphetamine?
Other debate on the amendment. Representative Ramirez.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let's talk about a toolbox. I like the idea of giving law enforcement the tools that they ask for in their toolbox. Law enforcement, the Department of Public Safety, has not asked for this tool of a central repository. The tool that they have asked for is a logbook that they can reference, and we have made an allowance for my friend from Anchorage so that once again that local areas that have an acute problem can request that information be collected. Frankly, the only two choices we have are to physically mail in a logbook or to electronically transmit a logbook. If we physically mail it in, then it's going to be in one place and it won't be available. If it goes to the Department of Public Safety, then it won't be available, let's say, for the Fairbanks Police Department. And secondly, if we have to electronically transmit it, then take a hotel gift shop that might sell some Sudafed as a courtesy to guests, simply won't sell it anymore, nor will some mom and pops, and then we are disturbing commerce. And frankly, to reflect the comments of one of the previous speakers, you know, really what we're going to collect is a list of people of names who have a cold. You know, we're trying to go after 1% or fewer of these folks that are doing nefarious things with Sudafed, and I don't want to the state to collect a list of people that have been sick in the last 12 months. So with great vigor, I would ask the body to vote no on Amendment 1. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Other debate on the amendment? Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand by my original assertion that without this amendment, the bill will be a feel-good bill, but it won't actually accomplish anything. Nobody is going to check these logs. It won't be but a matter of time before people stop actually keeping the logs. If nobody's ever going to look at this, if it's just going to sit here on my counter for the next 3 years or so without anybody checking it, then it will become worthless. And I want to make a difference. I want this to actually go forward and go to work on this scourge of methamphetamine. And without a reporting requirement, I don't believe it does.
You ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment Number 1 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please walk through. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
10 yeas, 26 nays.
So with a vote of 10 yeas and 26 nays, Amendment Number 1 has failed to pass the House. Madam Clerk, do we have any other amendments?
Amendment Number 2 by Representative Crawford to page 10, deleting lines 2 and 6.
Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is my fallback position. A strategic retreat. Mr. Speaker, what this does...
Move the amendment.
Move the amendment number 2.
Your objection? There is an objection. Representative Crawford.
Mr. Speaker, what this does is it allows, say, the municipality of Anchorage to designate itself as a central repository. If they voluntarily designate themselves as a central repository, they can request the information from municipalities from wholesalers and distributors from around the state. I think it's not as good as my first amendment, but I think it would go a long way towards reporting and making this a better bill. Thank you.
Other debate on the amendment? Representative Ramirez.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would say that my argument against Amendment Number 1 is just as good of an argument against Amendment Number 2, and I would encourage the body to also vote no on Amendment Number 2, and thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Other debate on the amendment? Representative Roper.
Mr. Speaker, a question of the sponsor of the bill. If this amendment does not pass, would this allow municipalities to require the same thing? Perhaps we should amend this amendment to restrict that ability.
Another debate on the bill. Representative Ramirez.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We think that on page 10, section E addresses this, and there will be another amendment offered that I think will address the previous speaker's point, and I'd be delighted to ask for brief at ease as soon as we vote on amendment number 2.
Other debate on the amendment. Representative Gatto.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 2 is a significant departure from amendment number 1, especially the term voluntarily designates itself. That's almost scary. I'm not sure who the very first agency would be, but it may make action whoever was first, and it might be someone in Fleetmute. I don't know. And we would have to then be corresponding with the first agency who voluntarily did that and then committed the other people who have to follow. So I would say that this amendment has a flaw that I did not see in amendment number 1. Thank you.
Other debate on amendment number 2. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number 2 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please walk the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
7 yeas, 28 nays.
So with a vote of 7 yeas and 28 nays, amendment number 2 has failed to pass the House. Speaker. Please come to order. Madam Clerk, do we have any other amendments? You're the different clerk.
Yeah. Amendment number 3 by Representative Croft.
Representative Croft.
Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number 3.
There is an objection. Representative Croft. Representative Ramirez.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to offer an amendment to the amendment.
Okay. You want to state your amendment to the amendment?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 3, after the word distributors shall report, we want to insert electronically or by mail. And then on the third line after the word, I want to delete the word A before 6-month period and insert the words the subsequent 6-month period. So it should read, upon the written request of any law enforcement agency, any wholesaler, manufacturer, or distributor shall report electronically or by mail the information collected in A and B of this section for the subsequent 6-month period.
Is there any objection to the amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment to the amendment has passed. We have amendment number 3 in front of us as amended. Is there any objection to... as amended. Representative Hawker objects. Representative Hawker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And if I may, through the Speaker, a question for the maker of the amendment. This amendment provides that a wholesaler, manufacturer, or distributor shall report the information collected in A and B. With respect, Section A is the wholesaler, manufacturer, and distributor record system. Section B is a retailer, and I'm not sure how a wholesaler, manufacturer, distributor would be able to report the information maintained by retailers, sir.
Representative Croft or Representative Ramirez, which one of you want to talk to that amendment? I mean, that question. Representative Croft.
Brief at ease, Mr. Speaker.
We'll take a brief at ease. Order. Representative Hawker.
Thank you again, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move an amendment to amendment number 3, and if I may have the latitude to do it verbally, the amendment would add or change the first sentence by adding following distributor or a retailer, and then the grammar needs to be conformed, of course. But it would provide that ultimately that wholesalers, manufacturers, distributors, or retailers shall report electronically or otherwise the information collected in A, and then we would need to change and to or, A or B of the section.
Is there any objection to that amendment? Seeing hearing none. The second amendment to amendment number 3 has passed the House. We're back to amendment number 3 as amended. Is there any other discussion on amendment number 3 as amended? Is the objection maintained? Seeing no objection, amendment number 3 as amended has passed the House. Madam Clerk, do we have any other amendments?
Amendment number 4 by Representative Curtula to page 1, line 13.
Representative Curtula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment.
There is an objection. Representative Curtula.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Well, this amendment deletes the section that would change the law on manslaughter. And it really is a different, it's different from the rest of the bill. We've had the law on manslaughter for quite some time. As far as I can see, there's only been one amendment to it to insert aiding suicide. And other than that, it's been the same law for a long time. So this would completely change manslaughter as we know it if the bill were adopted as it is. And what it's doing is it's the bill is drafted is going to say that if you knowingly manufacture a controlled substance and then a person dies, that that death doesn't have to have any, quote, culpable mental state. So it's basically a strict liability crime. Now, that may sound good, but it really begs the question of why would you do it for this particular type of crime versus the other crimes of manslaughter? You're completely splitting this off, and that just that doesn't make sense to me. I don't think it's good public policy. I think you need to think out whether you do it for the entire, every type of manslaughter, or you don't. But to do it this way for just one type, I think is a mistake. I wasn't in any committee that heard this. Maybe there's a good explanation of it. But I think it's a mistake to go down this path. It's a serious change to our criminal code. It doesn't have anything to do, as far as I can tell, with really the rest of the bill's intent. And I wouldn't go down this pathway without an extremely good justification. Thank you.
Other debate? Representative Ramros.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to oppose Amendment Number 4. This was originally in the governor's bill. The intent behind this, I thank the representative from Juneau. It took me a while to kind of jog my memory. Law is not a strong point for me. The intent behind this language is because in the manufacture of crystal meth, unlike, say, a narcotic like cocaine, which we think of being transported in a canvas gym bag, you know, that comes from another country and then is, you know, parted up and sold out and retailed, crystal meth is a formula that you can download off of the internet, and it's made up of often as many as 15 or more ingredients, and you get meth cooks that have no official certification, and so what can happen is that you can cook up a bad batch of meth and kill somebody by cooking up. I mean, you're already asking people to smoke Drano. If you're part of a meth ring or a meth coven, this is why it's such a dark, horrible drug that sits on our many communities and societies. And I believe that the intent behind this language is that somebody can cook up bad drugs that kill people simply by the meth cocktail. There's no precise formula on the internet. You could download many different variations on this formula. And you've got people that are cooking this, that are having their kids help them, you know, mash up the ingredients and cook them off into beakers. And I think it is an attempt to hold somebody culpable for cooking up a bad batch of meth that somebody else smokes, shoots, ingests in some kind of way that happens to kill them. So I'm going to oppose Amendment Number 4 because I think that anything that puts more teeth into this thing is a better deterrent. And thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Other debate on Amendment Number 4. Representative Curtula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, if maybe we limited it to just what the previous speaker said, that might make more sense. But it goes to 1171, and that's the whole panoply. That is narcotics. That is other types of drugs. I mean, I'm not sure exactly. My strong suit is not drugs, so we've got the whole list, though, of drugs. Sufentanil, carfentanil. I mean, I think it's too broad. It's both over and under inclusive in that sense. Not only that, but if someone did what the previous speaker said, I believe they'd already fit under the mental state of recklessness, reckless disregard for what you were doing. There is a mental state that goes along with it. This really goes that step too far to absolutely no mental state. And it's just something that I think if you're going to take this step, you better know what you're doing. You better know exactly why we're doing it, and we better understand what the results will be and why we're not doing it for the crime of manslaughter in total. And that's just a huge question to me. So I agree with the underlying legislation. I think that this is a provision that just kind of got added along, and I think it's wrong to do this. So I would really appreciate a no vote on it. I think that it's a separate issue, and we should look at it more carefully. Thank you.
Representative Ramros, wrap-up?
Yes, in wrap-up, Mr. Speaker, I believe this language was crafted by the Department of Law and that they support this language, and I would recommend that we keep it in and oppose Amendment Number 4.
Okay, you ready for the question? The question is, Representative Roberg.
Speaker, I would like to know what drugs are covered under 1171. I do notice that the drugs covered under the legislation before us are both included, so it means anabolic steroids. So this the member from Juneau is correct as far as that, and I'd be curious about what other drugs would be considered under this manslaughter provision.
Representative Curtula?
Well, I just found one I know, and that's caffeine. Seriously, it's the whole list.
Brief it easy. Please get that together. Come back to order. Representative Curtula?
With the understanding that we're going to try to work on this overnight, I'll withdraw the amendment. I also want to apologize. Caffeine is the next schedule, so caffeine isn't part of it. But codeine would be, so we'll withdraw and wait till tomorrow. Thank you.
Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Ms. Speaker. With the concurrence of the sponsor, I'm going to be working, just to let the body know, on another amendment that was suggested by the realtors involving disclosure of properties that have been used as meth labs. So when you buy a home, they'll tell you whether it's been used as a meth lab. And we'll work on that, too, and I thank the sponsor for working with me.
Are there any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, it's going to be a tough motion because I know where it's going. But I would you move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote, I mean, I'm sorry, that the committee substitute for House Bill 149 Finance be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Okay, this bill will be held over and be brought up in third reading tomorrow. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
House Bill 214 by Representatives McGuire, Curtula, Gruenberg and Samuels, entitled An Act Relating to Anatomical Gifts and the Anatomical Gift Donor Registry Program. The State Affairs Committee considered the bill recommending do pass Ramos, Elkins, and Seaton amend Lynn and Gatto. A fiscal note and 2-0 fiscal notes were attached. The report was signed by Representative Seaton, Chair. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 214 Hess with the same title, attached a new 0 fiscal note recommending do pass Anderson, Coring, McGuire, Seaton, and Wilson. No recommendations, Cisna and Gardner. The report was signed by Representative Wilson, Chair. There's one committee substitute.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Hess Committee Substitute for House Bill 214 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Hess Committee Substitute is before us. Madam Clerk, are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 214 has to be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we're in third reading. Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for the third and final time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 214 has entitled An Act Relating to Anatomical Gifts and the Anatomical Gift Donor Registry Program.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Last year, the legislature helped me in passing the Anatomical Gifts Registry Act, which put an anatomical organ and tissue registry into Alaska law and is very successful. Folks are going into the DMV, registering for this, getting a little hard on their driver's license and agreeing to be part of the registry. As with many of these big omnibus bills, sometimes things are left behind. This bill is a cleanup bill that would do a couple of things. The first is that it would expand the definition of procurement organization to include Life Alaska, which is our only organ and tissue procurement organization in the state. Over the interim, we tried to make some changes, including some exciting things like allowing you to go to myalaska.com and have a part there that tells you about what it means to be an anatomical gift donor. And we weren't able to do that because the language in the bill that we passed was too restrictive and didn't allow for our own organ and tissue procurement organization to have control and access to that registry. So we would be amending that throughout the bill to allow for a more expansive definition. The second thing we're doing, Mr. Speaker, is we are expanding the definition of a technician. These are the folks that help process and collect the organ and tissues. We are going with the federal definition now. The version of the bill that we passed required people to be licensed by the state medical board. And frankly, that is unnecessary and would exclude many of the folks who are doing it now, and again, is also out of touch with the federal definition. And The member from District 13 actually brought some really good points up about that, and so that would be state law now. And then the final thing it does is it allows for the first responders, those folks who are on the scene and sadly have somebody who may be an organ and tissue donor, to communicate directly through dispatch about this fact rather than waiting until the individual is at the hospital. And so we're hoping that this will shorten the amount of time to hopefully get the organ and tissue to the needing person. With that, I'd ask member support.
Any other debate on the bill? Representative Lynn.
Mr. Speaker, at first I had some serious concerns about this, and I had spoken to the sponsor about it. I was concerned that none of these organs would come from aborted fetuses or early induction fetuses with abnormality incompatible with life. After talking with the sponsor and with some other experts in this area, they said that they didn't expect that it would be a problem. And with caution, I am going to vote in favor of the bill.
Other debate on the bill? You ready for the question? Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 214 Hess? Pass the House in third reading. Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
30 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, with a vote of 30 yeas and 0 nays, the substitute for House Bill 214 has passed the House. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
House Bill 120, entitled An Act Relating to Safety Devices and Sharp Instruments for the Prevention of the Spread of Blood-Borne Pathogens in Healthcare Employees and Providing for an Effective Date. The bill's in third reading.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill is really a housekeeping bill. In the year 2000, the state of Alaska set down its regulations and its standards on blood-borne pathogens, and that it would involve needles. Capping needles and sharps and things like that in doctor's offices and whatnot. The next year, in 2001, at the federal level, they did the same thing. And ours matched theirs totally, except in two areas. We had made an exception for dentist's office and doctors or medical offices that had less than 25 employees. And what we're doing right now is we're just making sure that the Alaska standards meet up with the federal standards, because it does make a difference in some of the grants that we can get. And this will not affect anyone. There is no one that is saying that they're against this bill, because those two entities, the smaller businesses and the dentists, they already make sure that they take care and with their sharps and their needles, because this is a serious health issue. And for patient protection and their own protection, they already do what this bill says that they need to do. So I would urge everyone to vote for this bill.
Any other debate on the bill? You ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 120 pass the House? Members, please vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
32 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, with a vote of 32 yeas and 0 nays, House Bill 120 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of House Bill 120 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the bill will be the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
House Bill 131, entitled An Act Increasing the Criminal Classification of Theft of an Access Device and of Obtaining an Access Device or Identification Documents by Fraudulent Means, Increasing the Criminal Classification for Certain Cases of Fraudulent Use or an access device and providing for an effective date. The bill's in third reading.
Representative Stoltz.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to present this bill today. I'm really glad that I found my wallet and its access devices today. I was nervous all yesterday not having it. I found it. It was in a real cluttered place on my desk. So it was, I was at the point of wanting to call in credit card numbers. It really gave me an up-to-date appreciation for what folks go through. This is not a common crime, and that it's not like a straight crime, and that and the lingering invidious effects of the loss of your identity or fraudulent use of your identity. Even the process of going through and canceling all your credit cards, even if you avoid the misuse, the impacts are incredible. It's an issue that was brought to me by the Department of Law in tandem with other measure we'll talk about later, and it's I'm happy to have the support of the Alaska the AARP, Alaska Peace Officers Association, a National Identity Theft Association, Department of Law, and a lot of APD and a lot of individual seniors. I visited a senior center this last weekend, and that's when identities. This has a broader effect than just seniors, but that's the issue that brought it to my attention. When someone's victimized, first of all, they're at the age you're often forgetful. You don't. The people of my parents and grandparents' ages, when you get a bill, you pay it, and that's. And when you have made a mistake, there's an embarrassment about it, and you don't want to think you may have made a mistake, or. But it's not very light. I take it very seriously. Increasing. Crime offenses to the felony level, but this isn't just a straight crime. When someone rifles a purse away from somebody aggressively, and there's the access devices, even an ID card can be used so the information contained on it. Again, it's increasing the gut of the bill is increasing it to a felony status, and it's. Primarily as a deterrence. There's a hope that this will help with more proactivity on the part of the department and law enforcement. When people know that the penalties are so much higher, we're taking this seriously, less plea bargains. I think the terminology that was used by, and it's unfair, but some of the victims felt blown off. But it's really law enforcement and even our Department of Law aren't going to put the resources on a minor misdemeanor offense, and this is step one of my efforts to enhance protection of all Alaskans, and in my case, particularly seniors. Thank you,
Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move and ask unanimous consent to go back to second reading for purposes of introducing a specific amendment, Amendment Number 1.
Without objection, we will go back to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment. Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Amendment Number 1.
There is a couple of objections. Representative Guerra.
Yeah. Speaker, I support the bill. I think it's a good idea. Credit card fraud, check fraud, the fraud that you commit when you get access to somebody's bank accounts and credit card accounts is very serious. And so this bill essentially makes that kind of conduct a felony. It also, I think, unwittingly, or maybe purposely, we'll find that out during the amendment, makes things that are really misdemeanors felonies, really only in one place. If you look at page 2, line 14, this now says it's a felony if you steal something, pickpocket something is one example, and is the example that my amendment is going to address. If you steal something, and it has a credit card in it, even though you don't intend to use the credit card. So under Section 1, you pickpocket somebody's wallet. You're a first-time criminal. You take the $50. You toss the wallet. That used to be pickpocketing. That used to be a misdemeanor. It's now a felony. And what Amendment Number 1 says is if you engage in that kind of conduct, it's criminal conduct. You should be prosecuted for it. But it recognizes that there's a continuum of crimes. Not everything is a felony. Not everything is the most serious crime in the world. Some crimes are serious and therefore misdemeanors. Some crimes are much more serious and therefore felonies. And just so people know, as we make more and more things felonies in the state, that's the kind of question you're asked when you're a first-time job applicant, right? Have you ever committed a felony? And so just be careful when you make things felonies in the state that you're making things, that you're addressing conduct that you want to prevent somebody from being able to get a job, which will happen in many cases. So the language is exactly this. It says if you take an access device, which is a credit card or check or something like that, and you know it, I mean, you're taking it so you can use it, it is a felony as the sponsor of the bill intends. But if you pickpocket and there's a credit card in there that you don't use, it's not a felony, it's still a misdemeanor. It's not conduct that's defensible, that's not the question. The question is, should it be the most serious crime? And so the amendment just says that if you don't try to use it, we're going to still treat this as pickpocketing and not the felony. If you don't try to use the credit card, if you don't try to use the check, if you ditch it like many pickpocketers do, it's still the crime that it was before this bill passes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other debate on the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the discussion on it. It's worthy that we have this discussion. I talked at length to the Department of Law, and the question went all the way up to our new Attorney General designee. And as I take these promotion of offenses to felonies real seriously, but I suspect most pickpockets are hoping to get more than $50. And a whole part of the whole culture of crime, you steal it, and you may not intend to use it yourself, but becomes part of a distributing them to others. And there's a concern of the Department of Law having to wait until that individual person actually uses the access device themselves. The real intent of this is deterrence. I guess I'm a real little bit squeamish. We're in the middle of National Crime Victims Week here. If it was maybe Public Defenders Appreciation Week, I might have a little bit different take on my sentiments. So with that, I oppose the amendment.
Any other debate on the amendment? Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am somewhat concerned about the amendment for a little different reason. This bill, in order to really understand the bill, you have to have Title 11 in front of you, because it deals with a number of different statutes. The incident that the representative from downtown Anchorage was talking about was the following hypothetical. A person picks somebody's pocket and then finds a credit card inside when they're really after the cash. The amendment that he wants to offer, though, is to a different section of the bill. If you do that, it's theft. And that's dealt with in the first section of the bill, which is Section 1. What the section he is amending here with the Class C felony is called obtaining an access device or identification document by fraudulent means. And the only thing that would apply is with intent to defraud, the person obtains an access device or authentication document. That's not a theft. That's with somebody, I go up to you and I say, will you give me your credit card device for a second so that I can show somebody else what your Bank of America card looks like? And then you go and use it. That's the fraudulent use. You obtain it voluntarily, but with a fraudulent intent. It's not a theft, which is picking your pocket. And that's why I have problems with the amendment. It amends the wrong section of the bill.
Any other debate on the amendment? You ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number one pass the House? Members, please vote. To change his or her vote. President Gardner? President Gardner from NATA. Any other member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
8 yeas, 26 nays.
So with a vote of 8 yeas and 26 nays, amendment number one has failed to pass the House. Back in third reading, is there any other debate on the bill? You ready for the question? The question is, Shall House Bill 131 pass the House? Members, please vote. Representative Ledoux. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
33 yeas, one nay.
So, with a vote of 33 yeas and one nay, House Bill 131 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage of House Bill 131 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the bill will be the roll call vote on the effective date clause. With that, we're going to sit, stand, whatever, in recess until 1:20, 1:15, actually. There's one meeting going on right now, and we'll take a lunch break. So be in recess until 1:15. House, please come to order. I thought we had a new Bill Stoltz over there. Okay. Well, everybody had a wonderful lunch, and here we are. We're back again. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
Committee substitute for House Bill 132, Judiciary, entitled An Act Relating to Certain Crimes Committed Against the Elderly and Providing for an Effective Date. The bill's in third reading.
Representative Stoltz?
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to present part two of the package, just vaguely referring to other legislation on the docket today. This also makes an adjustment in the penalties for crimes against the elderly, ratchets up one level. It's supported by the same groups as the previous legislation. There's a pretty high standard of proof required, reckless disregard. This is really going after people that target the elderly. I remember an instance many years ago with seeing somebody going into the bank and chatting with me. They had a great opportunity to claim their Canadian lottery winnings. All they had to do was withdraw some money from the bank to pay the Canadian taxes on it. And I was so glad I ran into that person and said, go back home and talk to your son and think this over. And those are the types of things that just make me want to puke when I hear people going after seniors. My folks are at the age where they're older, and it's the same same concerns I have on the previous legislation. This is a very vulnerable class of victims, often very very trusting, very susceptible to somebody that's willing to talk with them, present some type of scam, and often they're very embarrassed when they have been victimized. I know we have a few members here that are at that age threshold, and they can, I guess, declare their conflicts. I'm just as worried about them as others. And with that, I guess I'll just answer questions as they come up.
Representative Lynn.
Mr. Speaker, I do, in fact, declare a conflict of interest. I know it's very difficult to believe, but I am, in fact, over 65. Here's my driver's license, a little hard on it. I am over 65, so I do have a conflict of interest. But nonetheless, I would support the bill if you permit me to do so.
Representative Croft?
I want to move up.
Oh, hold on. Any other debate on the bill? You ready for the question? You're not ready for the question. Brief it is, Representative Godot. Order. Is there any other debate on the bill? You ready for the question? Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 132, Judiciary, pass the House in third reading? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
35 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, with a vote of 35 yeas and 0 nays, committee substitute for House Bill 132 Judiciary has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill 132 Judiciary be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the bill will be the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Croft.
May I move back up the calendar?
Without objection, we'll roll back up the calendar to introduction of guests.
Yeah, thank you. In the Petrovich calendar, waiting patiently while we had our brief at eases and votes on that bill, is Kate Herring on the Alaska Native Health Board here to talk about tobacco issues, and I'm sure she'll be visiting many of you. If you could help me welcome.
Did I see her smoking out there? Any other guests for introduction? Representative Hawker.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and respecting, I know I'm poaching from someone, but I'm not certain whom. Also here with the the anti-cancer folks, as we also have Emily Neenan, a familiar face in this building, a good friend of mine, and I would appreciate everyone welcoming her back to Juneau.
Other guests? Representative Gardner? Oh, I'm sorry.
Emily Neenan, I was going to introduce her also.
Oh.
Thank you, folks.
You got to be quick. Other guests for introduction? Okay, we'll go back down the calendar. Madam Clerk, the next item on today's agenda.
House Bill 136 by Representatives Roquebrug, Guerra, Foster, and Wilson, entitled an act restricting the authority of a court to suspend execution of a sentence or grant probation and prosecutions for driving while under the influence, and prosecutions for refusal to submit to a chemical test, and allowing a court to suspend up to 75% of the minimum fines required for driving while under the influence and for refusal to submit to a chemical test if the defendant successfully completes a court-ordered treatment program. The bill's in third reading.
No objection. I'll move this bill back to rules. No, Representative Roquebrug.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Speaker. Thank you very much. This bill enhances the legislature's support for the therapeutic wellness court model here in the state. It also underlines, I believe, the policy of this legislature and the people of the state to severely sanction those people who engage in driving while under the influence of alcohol or other controlled substances. Mr. Speaker, this is a three-part revision bill that, as I say, enhances the therapeutic court system. First, it increases the amount of fines that can be waived for successful therapeutic court graduates from the current 50% to 75%. Mr. Speaker, this is important because under our statutory scheme, those participants in the court must pay for their own treatment. Therefore, by lowering the fines an additional 25%, I believe we free up the monies available by those participants in the court to facilitate their success in participation. Additionally, Mr. Speaker, it provides that the statutory authority for the therapeutic courts, which was included at the district court level, is expanded statutorily to the felony therapeutic court level. Currently, we have a pilot program that's been extended by the legislature once for a felony DUI court in Anchorage and in Bethel. By enacting this particular bill, we will give the felony DOI court the ability to modify the sentences and the fines to help with the success of their programs. And finally, Mr. Speaker, this bill requires that the minimum fines for driving while under the influence be imposed by the courts. The fines were raised by the 22nd legislature in the HB 4. They're significant. For first offense, the minimum fine was prescribed by this body as $1,500. But, Mr. Speaker, after the fines were raised in HB 4, defense attorneys found an obscure two-page opinion from the Alaska Court of Appeals, the decision of Curtis v. State, which concluded that the courts were not prohibited from suspending fines. Mr. Speaker, we're here today to restate our position that when the legislature speaks, and it says these are to be minimum fines. When we say minimum, we mean minimum. And thereby we're repealing that case. This is an outward opportunity for us to express our rage and disgust that people that abuse alcohol and drive and wreak havoc, danger, and damage to every family in this state, which we all have some very close associations with one way or another, even members of this body. So, Mr. Speaker, I ask for your support. Thank you very much.
Other debate on the bill? Representative Garrett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and correct me if I've got the rules wrong. I would like to move to spread the letter of intent on this bill in the journal. And I can, not sure if I make that before the vote or after the vote.
I'll brief it easy. To order, Representative Garrett, we will have the motion to adopt the letter of intent after the vote on the bill. Any other debate on the bill? You ready for the question? Oh, Representative Gardner.
Thank you. I rise in support of this bill. I think that the record of recidivism and just repeat drunk drivers shows us that catching people and having punishment doesn't stop. And this bill builds in reason for people to participate in and complete the therapeutic courts. And I hope that it'll have a longer standing effect on people who might otherwise be inclined to drive while under the influence. Thank you.
Other debate on the bill? You ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 136 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, lock the roll. Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, with a vote of 36 yeas and 0 nays, House Bill 136 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt the judiciary letter of intent that accompanies House Bill 136. That requires a majority vote.
I don't think you have to ask unanimous consent. I think you just move the letter of intent. And are you ready to vote on the letter of intent? It's okay. I think it's a vote. We have to vote. Members, please vote on the letter of intent. Representative Hawker. Representative Chenault. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
So with a vote of 36 yeas and 0 nays, the letter of intent has passed the House. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda. Representative Garrett.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Speaker. The motion was to, it had already been adopted in judiciary. The motion I intended was to have it spread across the journal. And I'm not sure if we did that with that last motion.
It's spread across the journal.
Thank you,
Mr. Speaker. It's in the bill, yeah.
Okay.
Very good. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
Point of order.
Majority Leader.
I think the question that the representative was asking is whether the actual verbiage could be spread across the journal. I think the vote is spread on the journal.
Madam Clerk has said that it's on the journal.
All right.
I'll take her word for it.
I wanted to make sure that was a point of order because I wasn't sure that I understood the answer, so thank you.
Clerk says it's there, it's there. Representative Ramirez.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can we go back up to introduction of guests, please?
Without objection, we'll roll back up the calendar to introduction of guests.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce Colonel Ball, who is with us from Fort Wainwright. He's the deputy commander of U.S. Army Alaska, and he is a brave man helping us in Fairbanks a lot, getting ready to help deploy 3,100 brave men and women out of the Stryker Brigade. Give you Colonel Ball.
Any other guests for introduction while we're here? Okay, we'll move back down the calendar. Madam Clerk, the next item on today's agenda.
House Bill 184, entitled An Act Relating to Firearms. The bill's in third reading.
Representative Shen.
not.
Can I have brief adhesion, Mr.
Brief adhesion. House, come back to order. Representative Chenault.
Me again, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 184 was introduced to ensure that citizens were able to look at one gun law or one law as the single final authority regarding firearm regulation. This bill will guarantee consistency in the firearm law within the state of Alaska. The bill would standardize firearm laws throughout the state of Alaska based upon current and future statutes enacted by the legislature. Uniform application of the law treats citizens fairly, and those who wish to be law-abiding can look to one statute for the applicable law. This bill prevents a complex patchwork of restrictions that change from one local jurisdiction to the next, such as when an individual is driving from Homer to Fairbanks. Today, he or she may find themselves in violation of several firearm ordinances in different municipalities. Currently, there are 44 states that have enacted preemption laws. Alaska would be the 45th, and I would ask that the body support House Bill 184. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Stoltz.
Thank you. First, I'd like to declare a potential conflict of interest. I'm on the board of directors of the Alaska Outdoor Council, which is the official state affiliate of the NRA, which is supporting this, and I just wanted to state that for the record, and the fact that I make endorsement recommendations should have no bearing. Okay. I appreciate the intent of this. In my district alone, just on the routine travels through my district, I'll find myself in the municipality of Anchorage, the Mat-Su Borough, city of Palmer, and the city of Wasilla on one given afternoon, and that's four different jurisdictions. I crave consistency, and I think it's consistent with the voter-approved constitutional amendment passed in 1994 overwhelmingly that the state law, I believe to paraphrase, state law and laws of subdivisions of the state shall not infringe Second Amendment rights. So I think it's consistent.